We interrupt your regularly scheduled podcast to bring you Listen, Watch, Discuss. Enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome back to Listen, Watch, Discuss. As always, I'm your host, Brent Aiken. And on tonight's episode, I will be reviewing the hugely successful and popular animated pilot, The Amazing Digital Circus. But first of all, I'd like to mention that I'm going to go over the entire thing because it's just a pilot, just one episode. So I will be going over pretty much the entire thing. So if you haven't seen it and you want to see it, you know, pause the episode, go watch it. I highly suggest, even if you listen to this episode first, to watch it regardless because it's great. It's hilarious. I'd like to mention that I did not review anything last week. Sorry about that to everyone who was expecting a Halloween-type review of something or just any episode in general, because I was legitimately going to upload an episode, but I kept putting it off because I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to actually review or discuss or talk about, you know. And, you know, it just kept getting, you know, closer and closer to Halloween, and then I was like, well, should I put something out on Halloween night or day? And I just didn't end up doing it because I couldn't think of what I wanted to actually talk about. So my bad for everyone who was, rightfully so, who was expecting something expecting an episode last week. But I will be probably uploading between 5 and 6 episodes this month. So including a music review, which I didn't do in October, because one of those was going to be, you know, I was tossing around the idea of reviewing the Rob Zombie's debut album, Hellbilly Deluxe, and I didn't do that. So, my apologies again to everyone who was waiting for an episode last week. But with that being said, this week I'll be reviewing the pilot on YouTube, The Amazing Digital Circus. Now, I've talked about a pilot here and there a couple times. Earlier this year, back in March, in season 6 of the podcast, I reviewed the animated YouTube pilot, Lackadaisy, which is one of my most listened to episodes to date, which is cool. And you'll remember that I was talking about, oh yeah, it's really cool that, you know, ever since Hazbin Hotel premiered in 2019, there's been these hugely successful pilots that have just skyrocketed into fame and, you know, like just, they've been blowing up, you know, which is crazy. The Lackadaisy, for whatever reason, hasn't been blowing up as much because I looked at how many views the pilot of that had the other day. And it's not quite as much as, well, obviously it came out way after Hazbin Hotel, you know, the pilot for that dropped, but I was looking to see, yeah, it only has 11 million views, which is crazy. I'm wondering why it's still, that's nothing to sneeze at. That's still a lot of, you know, people watching your pilot, you know, the pilot for that. And obviously it deserves that and much more, I think. But, you know, cause it was a great pilot, but yeah, for whatever reason, it's only at 11 million views and it was posted, you know, released 7 months ago back in March. Meanwhile, The Amazing Digital Circus has 62 million views. And it's funny because yesterday I looked at the view count because I watched it again in preparation for the review, you know, and full disclosure, I am going to be like watching it as I'm reviewing it just to remember everything that happened, you know, but obviously I'm going to have it muted. The other day I was looking at the view count when I was watching it and it was at 59 million views. So it's gone up 3 million other people have watched it since yesterday, which is crazy. But if you haven't heard of this or haven't, you know nothing about it, or at the very least haven't seen any images of it floating around online, which I feel like that's highly unlikely because, like, you know, I get maybe not having actually sat down and watched it, but this thing, like I said, has blown up since it's been released and there's been a ton of like fan art and just, you know, images. Yeah. You know, a lot of fan art and probably some fan fiction released of these characters and this pilot, and rightfully so, because it's amazing. I love it. but if you don't know what the pilot is about, it's pretty much about this woman who gets trapped in a virtual reality, a so-called, you know, The Amazing Digital Circus, And there are five other people in there with her. And there's an AI named Kane, who is this... I'll tell you what he looks like in a minute, but he's this very interestingly designed character. And that's one thing I got to say about all the characters. They all have... Visually, they all look fantastic and distinct from each other. Like if you were to take away... Like, if you were to put them all in a lineup and just have, like, them... like in the shadows, like you, if you could just see the outlines of each character's, you could pick apart who was who. Like, that's how visually distinctive they all look from each other, and I like that a lot. But yeah, they're a slew of colorful characters, and there's five other humans in there with this girl, and there's an AI and his assistant who's like a talking bubble named Bubble, and you know, she's trying to figure out how she got there, and yeah, and that's pretty much the setup. And right off the bat, it sets up a really good mystery, because you're like, okay, how did she get in there? How did these other five people get in there? But yeah, so I'm just gonna pretty much just basically go over the beginning, or I'm gonna go over the whole pilot. So you know, we pretty much start out with this intro. We hear, like, this very elegant music playing, and at first, upon first glance, the animation looks very blocky and, like, distorted and glitchy, kind of. Like, I mean, it doesn't look fully rendered, you know? It's like, and the whole pilot, it's a, I should preface this by saying, it's a fully CGI, like, it's computer-generated animation, and it looks really great, but I love how, like, the first few seconds tricks you into thinking it's going to be, like, some old... you know, like, Nintendo game style animation. Like, it's just very, like I said, blocky and, like, not fully rendered, it kind of looks like. But, you know, we get the title pop up, and then the animation clears up. It gets, like, really polished. Like, we zoom past the title, and then, like, the trees and the landscape and the circus, like, become fully realized, you know, the landscape and everything. It looks, like, way more polished. It looks great. And then... we get Kane, one of our main characters, who is, he claims he's the Rainmaster, and he's going to show, the audience, you know, to quote him, the most jaw-dropping, heart-stopping, mind-bending paraphernalia you've ever laid your eyes upon. And, basically he is a Rainmaster. He's got, like, the typical Rainmaster, attire on. He's got a, you know, red suit with coattails, a black bow tie, a top hat, gloves, and a cane, which is appropriate because his name is Kane. but his head is his head's floating off of his body, and it's just, you know, those wind up teeth that you get, like, you know, you wind up and they chitter chatter, you know, that's pretty much what his head is. It's a floating pair of teeth. And then, like, in the middle of the, like, his mouth always stays open. In the middle of his mouth are a pair of eyes. And one's, like, a little bigger than the other, and they're both different colors. So, like, that's, like, the first thing you see, I mean, other than the title and the landscape. And it's, like, right off the bat, it's just batshit insane, and I love it. Like, it's completely unhinged in a good way, and I love it for that. But, yeah, he's, like, and then we get introduced to his assistant, Bubble, and he's, like, isn't that right, Bubble? And, you know, like, we're going to have a good time today. And Bubble's, like, yeah, I can't wait to see what you've got cooking up for today. And, like, so it's like the intro. It's almost like the intro for a kid show. Or, like, you know, it's, like, just very bright and colorful. And it's, like, there's this calliope music playing, you know, like music you'd hear playing in a circus. And it pretty much, the intro just introduces the characters that we're going to be spending the pilot, you know, time with throughout this pilot. We get Gangle introduced in this order. So besides Kane and Bubble, we get Gangle, Zubal, Keener, Ragatha, Jax, Kofmo, who, it's funny, like, when we get to Kofmo, like, we, like, when they introduce everyone, we see all of them, and then we cut to Kofmo, and it's just a cardboard cutout of Kofmo that falls over, and then, like, for a split second, you see, disclaimer, Kofmo the clown did not show up today in white, small text, like, in the middle of the screen, and then it just cuts to the, and it's only on the screen for, like, 2 seconds, so it's like, wait, go back, what did that say, you know? And that comes into play later in the pilot. There's a reason why Kofmo didn't show up in the intro. But you know, we get all these, like, eyeballs, and, like, there's a record player and a flower pot and Bubbles floating about in the circus. And, you know, everyone's having a good time dancing and, you know, the whoever's singing is, you know, invested in the song. They're singing their ass off. And then our main character, Pomni, who she's not called Pomni just yet, but she shows up and she's right off the bat freaking out because she just randomly materialized in this weird ass, you know, circus. And she bumps into a few of the characters and then the whole intro just stops. And she's looking around like, okay, where am I? You know, what's going on? And she's looking around and everyone's kind of like, well, Jax is the first one to say, he asks Kane, he's like, is this one of your NPCs or is this a new sucker? Because if it's a new character, we're going to have to redo this whole theme song. And he seems kind of slightly irritated. And Pomni, well, she will be called Pomni shortly. But yeah, the new girl, Pomni, is wondering where she is. And she thinks that she's in a dream. And everyone is basically trying to coax her into realizing that she's stuck in this digital realm. And, you know, obviously, well, Jax is kind of the asshole of the group. And, like, he's just kind of, like, cracking jokes about her, you know, kind of mental breakdown she's having at the moment. Like, she's trying, like, she says that she put on this virtual reality headset. And then the next thing she knows, she just appeared in this realm. And then she's like trying to grab at the headset on her face. But it, you know, since she's a character in this digital world, this VR world, you know, she doesn't have, her character doesn't have the headset on, but she's like frantically trying to pull it off of her face. And she ends up like yanking her eyeball out or like trying to yank it out. But it's like a very, it's not gory. It's like a very cartoony way of doing it. Like she pulls her eyeball and it snaps back into her head, you know? But you know, like obviously like Ragatha is, and the others, mostly Ragatha and Kane are trying to, like calm her down and get her to understand the reality of her situation. But meanwhile, we have Jax just like cracking jokes like, oh yeah, just keep grabbing at the headset. You'll get it off. and yeah, so she's freaking out and then we get, you know, she finds out that she can't remember her name. She finds out all these other characters have been here for years. Kaner, supposedly, according to Jax, has been there the longest. She finds out that she can't remember her name, and she also finds out that she cannot curse there, because according to Kane, it's a place to be enjoyed by all ages. That place being the amazing digital circus. Yeah, she comes to the realization that, you know, none of the others have found an exit. Like, they can't leave because they've never found an exit before. And, yeah, they're like, well, you better get used to your new home. And then Pomni has a little freak out, and then she's like, oh, no, I'm just in a dream. It's fine. And they all just stare at her awkwardly. It's pretty funny because they're like, yeah, we kind of went through this shit before, but no, this isn't a dream. This is real. And then she, yeah, comes to the realization that, oh, wait, no, actually, before that, my bad. Kane shows her where she's at. Like, she shows her, or he shows her the tent, you know, the outside of the tent. He shows her, and around the circus that we have, there's a lake, and then there's a carnival, and then there's, like, some mountains in the background. And the moon and sun apparently talk. there's a funny joke where, like, the moon... Oh yeah, and he shows her the void too. Like they like go out, like they fly out even further past where the landscape of the circus is, and we see the void. And Kane apparently, like, he's being like all creepy and mysterious about it, but apparently he tells Pomni, he's like, I don't even know what's out there. Like, we never go out here, but I'm gonna show you anyway because yeah, it's part of this whole virtual reality, you know. And but yeah, and then there's a he's like, oh yeah, I keep a watch on all of you guys, you know, when you stay down here, you know, just stay here, everything will be fine. And then there's a joke about the moon, like having a crush on Kane, and he's like, let's get out of here before the moon gets frisky. And I don't know why it's stupid, but I love the way he said it. It's just funny. But yeah, and then there's some more jokes. Pomni throws up, a bubble ends up licking up the throw up. Which kind of just looks like, it looks like tar, like black tar. Kane is disgusted and yet so fixated on Bubble licking up the throw up that he's like entranced by it. And then Pomni comes to the realization that she can't remember her name. And then Kane's like, oh, okay, well, no one remembers their name when they get here. And he's like, it's one of the few things I don't have control over are your minds, you know? So, and so he's like, okay, well, I'll help you pick a new name. And so this, like, you know, random name generator falls down from the sky. And he says, the only things that you can't have in your name are anything that's objectionable content, you know? So, like, nothing, you can't have anything sexual or violent, anything sexually explicit. You can't have any, you know, slanderous or violent or profanity or unlawful content in your name. And he says it so fast, like he's like the announcer at the beginning of a movie, or like, you know, like, or not the, no, well, like an announcer at the end of like movie commercials for movies, where they're like, this film is not yet rated, you know, like where they talk so fast you can barely hear them, you know, like this film is rated PG for, or PG-13 for so and so, you know, like they talk so, you know, he talks so fast you can barely understand them. And so they, you know, they try a couple times to generate a name. There's this lever that Kane pulls on the generator, and they eventually get to Pomni. He's like, how's Pomni sound? And she's like, yeah, that's fine, whatever, we'll do that. And and then Kane's like, okay, well, how about we have an in-house adventure for our new guest, or our new friend Pomni. And Zubal one is like, I don't want to do that. And Kane's like, oh, don't worry, it's fine, I'll come up with something for you. I'll make the adventure something that you can participate in if you want to or not. He's like, I'll make it something unobtrusive that you can choose not to get involved with. And apparently the adventure that Kane has decided to come up with today is called Gather the Gloinks. and apparently their objective is to figure out why these gloinks, which, like, he's like, the entire circus tent is going to be infested with them. And essentially what they have to do is catch them all. And apparently these gloinks are just like these random colorful shapes that have like googly eyes, essentially, like, or they look like googly eyes. They're not actually googly eyes, but they look like what googly eyes look like, you know, all kind of plastic and like tiny black, you know, irises. And essentially a gloink's purpose is to just, you know, they just run around and steal shit. And like, you know, we see some, as soon as Kane is explaining what the gloinks are, we see some of them just pop up out of nowhere and start stealing stuff around the circus. Like one of them steals a table and the other steals a, I think, a flower pot. And so he's like, yeah, just go catch them all, and that'll be the adventure for today, you know, to get Pomni settled into this new place. Or no. One of them steals a table, the other one steals like a wheel of cheese or so, or like a little slice of cheese. And then Kane's like, have fun, you guys. And then he just pieces out, like he just materializes out of thin air, like just poof of dust, and then, you know, he's gone. And Pomni is confused, rightfully so. She's like, what did any of that mean? And then Ragatha, again, one of the few that is like either not totally insane or not kind of an asshole or not really wanting to get involved, she is the kind of voice of reason, or at least, or she's the one that's like really helping Pomni get adjusted to her way of new way of living, you know. Like she's the nicest one to Pomni so far. Not that everyone's a total asshole, but like I said, they're either kind of minding their own business or kind of an asshole like Jax, you know, just making smarmy comments or snarky comments, or they're just kind of like totally insane. You know, so, but Ragatha, who's like a rag doll. And yeah, by the way, yeah, Pomni is like, she's like a little jester, like a court jester. Like, she's got like this, clown suit on that, like, the pants on it come up to like above her knees, and she's got like clown shoes on and the jester hat with the two bells on it, and it's like half red, half blue, and there's a little bit of yellow. There's yellow buttons on it, yellow bells. The trim on the gloves, like, are yellow, but like one glove's red and one's black or blue. It looks really cool. And she's got, and her eyes are like red and blue, like eight different, like, it looks like a, you know, like the old Buffering logo where it was like a spinning beach ball. Her eyes kind of look like that, except they're not spinning and it's not like multiple colors. It's just red and blue repeated over and over. And she's got like black eyelids and red makeup and a white face, a little bit of hair. Her design looks cool. Like I said, everyone's design is great. And Ragatha is like a rag doll with one regular eye and like one blue button eye, and then like her dress is kind of patchy, and she's got red Raggedy Ann kind of hair and a bow. But yeah, pretty much she's the one trying to, like, get Pomni adjusted to this new life, you know, because she's like, hey, you're probably going to be here forever because we we haven't figured out a way to, you know, get out of here yet. And then Zubal announces that they announce that they're leaving. And it's funny because she's like, if anyone needs me, then fuck off. But she, again, you can't swear in this realm, so it's just like a cartoony sound effect. And she like flips everyone off, but they're but there's a like a little sensor bar that has like Kane's head and like a couple, like there's like an exclamation point, a dollar sign, and a pound sign, and a percent sign. So it's like that's supposed to be like the explicit gesture. It's like blocked out by that sensor bar. It's funny, but yeah, she's like, look, I if anyone needs me, don't come looking for me because I'm not going to get involved in this adventure. And then they immediately, I think non-binary, but Zubal, they immediately get disassembled by the Gloinks and taken away. So I love that they're like, you know, the one person in this whole thing that didn't want to get involved, had no, you know, interest in this adventure whatsoever, immediately gets captured. And Jax, being his asshole self, is like, oh no, they killed Zubal. Anyway, let's go get something to eat. And so they decide that, and Kalfmo, like I said earlier, Kalfmo wasn't there. And Ragatha's like, hey, what if we introduce Pomni to Kalfmo? Because he wasn't here for the intro. He hasn't met her yet. Let's go check on him. And Jax is like, okay, I'll go with you two. We'll get Keener and Gangle to go get Zubal. And also, yeah, so Zubal is essentially just like they look like a Picasso painting. Like, they're just comprised of a bunch of random shapes. And they have, like, a mouth that doesn't really move on a triangle head and, like, these misshapen eyes. They've got, like, a crab claw for one hand. And it's a very interesting design. Like, they're the one out of all of these characters that looks the most randomly put together. Like, they look like a sculpture or like abstract art, you know, that, you know, you just see someone painting. It's like, oh yeah, I got bored and painted this, you know. They look really cool. It's a really cool design for Zubal. And then Jax is like a giant, like a really tall purple rabbit with red overalls and tall purple ears. And his mouth, like when he talks, his teeth never move. Like, his mouth moves, but his teeth are always there. And they're yellow, and he's got yellow eyes. And then Keener is a keen chess piece with a royal keen looking robe, and he's got a crown, and he's got like two, again, giant misshapen eyes that have got, you can kind of see veins on them, and they're like lopsided on his, well, not his head because he's a chess piece, but where his head would be if he was a person, you know. And like, they're misshapen and like lopsided, like one's higher than the other. And he's got like two floating gloves for hands. And then Gangle is essentially just like a ribbon that's like kind of waving and like, it's not waving, it's in place, but it's like kind of like curved, and it's like, it's in a bunch of different curves and loop-de-loops. And like, her face is a, you know, the happy and sad comedy and tragedy mask symbols, you know, like, you know, usually see in like a playbook or something, or like if you look up comedy and tragedy or something on Google, that's probably like the first thing that would pop up, or happy sad mask. It's like one mask is white and it's like a happy face, it's just two black dots and a smile, and then the other's sad and like two frowny looking eyes and a frown. She essentially has two masks, but her comedy mask got broken earlier and she just has the sad mask on. But yeah, so that's what they look like. And then so that's everyone. That's what everyone looks like. And then Kalfmo is just like a regular looking clown. Although, like I said, we don't actually see him physically. We just see like that cardboard cutout of him in the intro. But I just wanted to go over what all the characters looked like. Again, fantastic designs for all of them. But yeah, so Ragatha asks Jax if it's a good idea to pair the two of them together. And it's funny because they're like, oh yeah, it's, you know, Ragatha's like, is this a good idea to pair them two together? And Jax is like, of course, they're the two most mentally stable and capable characters to be paired together. And we, as Jax is saying that, we cut to the two of them standing next to each other, and Gengel's freaking out because Kaner is like glitching like crazy. Like he starts off, he's standing like normally, but then he starts like vibrating and glitching, or not glitching, but like kind of spazzing out. Like he just starts moving crazily, and it's like, I don't think this was such a good idea. I think one of them needed to go with you. We should have swapped the two, one of them out for one of you three, you know, but you know, Jax is like, yeah, no, that's fine. So they go to Kofmo's room, and that, you know, they start walking down this hallway of, you know, of rooms where everyone's, you know, where everyone lives, like that, this is where they all live. And, oh yeah. And also they, Kaner told Pomni, that Kofmo was ranting about some exit. And she's like, oh, okay, well, if he was talking about an exit, then that means there's most likely one somewhere here. We just haven't found it yet, right? And then they're like, yeah, well, it could be, you know. And so, yeah, they're walking down the hallway, and we see as they're walking down the hallway, they don't draw attention to it, but if you, you know, pause it and look as they're walking down the hallway, we see a bunch of characters, because everyone's doors, everyone's rooms, on the front door, there is a picture of them on the door, like their profile picture anyway, you know. And but there are a bunch that are like crossed out. Excuse me, sorry. There are a bunch that are crossed out. I don't know what the hell just happened there. I like choked on air. That's so stupid. You ever done that? That's stupid. Anyway, sorry about that. But there, yeah, there are a bunch of X's on the doors of when they walk by. Like there's one. There's like a pig looking creature, his or her, their, face is like, there's a red X drawn on it. And then there's like a parrot creature. There's an X drawn on it, it's, or their, door, you know, on their face. And then there's one of a dog, his face is crossed out. And it's just like, you know, it's very subtly setting up the mystery and the reveal that's about to come up with what happens with what happened with Kofmo. And they get to Pomni, you know, they're like, oh, Pomni, your room's probably, you know, you probably have one. And then they pass right by it. They're like, oh, look, there's your room. And her room is already, she's already got her face, like a little plaque with her face on the door. And her room is like right across the hallway from Jax and Ragatha's, who their rooms are like right next to each other on the opposite side of the hallway. And then Pomni's room is like in between theirs on the other side of the hallway. And so they get to Kofmo's room. You know, they're talking about Pomni doesn't understand the purpose of the adventures. And Ragatha kind of has like a little mental breakdown, essentially. She's like, oh, well, it's just something to pass the time to, you know, and help us avoid the inevitable truth that, you know, there's no escape here. That escape is inevitable. We're never going to leave here, and we should just accept that. And, you know, she kind of, yeah, like I said, goes off on a little bit of a, you know, breakdown, a little bit of a tangent, and it like zooms in on her face. She starts panicking and more as she continues. And then she's like, but that's neither here nor there. Anyway, we're here at Kofmo's room, you know. She's like, we don't need to deal with that today. And so they knock on his door. He doesn't answer. And they're like, well, that's weird. What's, you know, what's going on with that? And and then yeah, they're knocking on the door. He's not answering, so they go in. Or actually, no, well, it's locked. But then Jax reveals that he has a key to his room, and Ragatha is very understandably like, you know, creeped out by this. She's like, and creeped out and irritated. She's like, why do you have a key to all of our, or why do you have a key to his room? And then he reveals, he's like, I've got keys everywhere. You guys are fine, or you've been fine. And then he says, oh yeah, I've put something in your room. Let me know if you find it. You're not afraid of centipedes, are you? And then she immediately gets mad. She's like, that's literally my one fear. Why are you the way that you are? You know? and then Jax is like, it's fine. It could be a completely unrelated question. You'll never know until it's too late. And so, yeah, he unlocks Kofmo's door. They open it, and then they see written on the walls is just the word exit. And, like, yeah, it's just exit written in, like it looks like he, like, it, like, it's not neatly written either. It's, like, very, like some versions of it are bigger than others, or some are bigger than others, but like exit is written in every corner of the wall on Kaufman's room, and it's just like very scribbly and very scratchily written in like red marker or red ink. Oh, and it's like carved. Oh, I didn't even notice this until just now. It's carved into his bedposts too, because he has like a wooden bed frame, and it's like carved into the front and like the headboard and like the bottom of his bed, like the back of his bed where the your feet go. It's like it's carved into there. Like that's crazy. Oh, and then he's also got he also has No Way Out like written one time in there. Oh, and he also like drew himself on the wall running away from Kane's head, and like Kane's like. His head or his mouth, you know, is like open wide and his like tongue sticking out. It looks like he's like coming to eat him. Like he's like he's got that crazed look in his eyes. So yeah, I didn't even notice that my two times watching the pilot, but that's cool. But yeah, so they look and they see that Kaufmo has, in their terms, abstracted. So he's basically become this giant glitchy demon looking creature. Like he's got like several different. He's got like several different multicolored eyes, like blue. They're mostly like turquoise, purple, and pink, and then like the irises are different colors. And then like his body is just like a glitching black mass of. It looks like it looks kind of like tar or like a crystal, but it's like his body is just he kind of looks like a seal or like a wiener dog in the way that he moves, in the way that his neck kind of stands up. But yeah, he's just like glitching and like spazzing out, and he's got like. 10 eyes. It looks really cool and creepy, like his design. And then Jax just, he's like, he reaches inside for a bowling ball. He's like, I've been looking for this. Anyway, bye. And then he just like does the classic cartoony thing where like, you know, when someone runs away, they leave like it's like they're the Flash. They just immediately run out of frame and leave like a dust cloud of in their shape behind. And yeah, he just leaves Ragatha and Pomni there. Pomni's like, what the hell's going on? Well, I mean, not what the hell, because, you know, they can't curse. But you know what I mean? She's like, what the hell's going on? And then Ragatha's like, oh, Kaufmo abstracted. That's one of the things that can happen if you start to lose your mind. You know, if you it's the terrible thing that will happen when you reach your breaking point. And Ragatha gets cornered by Kaufmo because they're too terrified to close the door. Kaufmo gets through the door. She's like, I'm sorry I didn't laugh at your jokes, Kaufmo, the other day. I was just having a bad day. And then he just, like, picks her up and just, like, it's kind of brutal, too. I mean, it's not like, again, she's a ragdoll, so it's not like she's bleeding or bruised or anything. But, like, he just, like, picks her up with his arm. And again, because he's, like, walking on all fours. But he picks her up with, like, his left arm. And then he just, like, throws her around the hallway. And she, like, bounces across, like, he throws her down on the ground, and then, you know, once and then twice, and then, like, you know, he smacks her against one of the walls so hard she bounces across, she bounces off every wall and the ceiling. It's like, oh, shit. And then she, like, we see her slowly crawl to Pomni, and she's glitching. Like, you know, Kaufmo is, like, beating her up so bad, and, like, I guess, well, you know, he touched her, essentially, all it took was, I guess, a touch, but... You know, he's beating her up, and she's, like, glitching super hard. And she's like, hey, can you help me out? And she, Pomni's obviously very nervous about, you know, what just happened. Like, she's very scared. She goes to reach for Ragatha's hand, because Ragatha's reaching her hand out. She touches her hand, and immediately her hand starts glitching. She's like, oh, shit. You know, and then, like, her hand's just glitching like Ragatha's whole body is. And then she's like... I'm sorry, I gotta go. And then she just, like, runs, you know, leaves the hallway, or leaves their little section of the tent. And, but Kaufmo's abstraction immediately starts chasing her. He crashes into, like, a wall and falls down to the, like, ground floor. And he sees a Gloink and immediately starts chasing that. And Pomni's like, okay, I gotta figure out what to do, you know, let me see what I should do. You know, she's like trying to get her thoughts together. And then we cut back to Keener and Gengel, they're just looking at the hole that the Gloinks took Zubul down in. And Keener's like, what are we doing? And then Gengel's like, we saw a Gloink carry Zubul down there, remember, like, or one of Zubul's pieces. Kinder's like, oh yeah, thanks for the clarification. And then there's just like a 5-6 second silence of just a little 5 or 6 seconds of them just silently staring at the hole. And Kinder's like, we're not really good at this, are we? Which again leads me to, you know, wonder, it's like, why did Jax think, I mean, I guess it's because he's kind of an asshole, and he's just like, he knew that they weren't going to get shit done unless they had the whole team there or the whole group. But I just love that he's like, oh, they'll be fine paired together. They'll get the job done. And literally they're just staring and looking at the hole. It's like, yeah, they're not really that good at this. But then Jax, you know, he's, you know, running away from Kofmo. He catches up, you know, he pops up behind them. He's like, hey, what's up, guys? And they're asking if Kofmo's okay, and Jax lies and says he's fine. And then he tells Kiener, he's like, hey, Kofmo wanted me to give you this, and he throws the bowling ball to Kiener. Kiener grabs onto Gangle's arm, and then she kind of unravels and, like, falls down in the hole with him, and Jax just jumps into the hole with them, and they go down this slide, and they get to the Gloink cave, like the lair where the Gloinks are, and some of the Gloinks are shaped like, are like a perfectly assembled set of bowling pins, and like they all roll down the to the entrance in the cave once they get down the slide, and like the ball rolls, and all three of them are like rolled up into a ball, and they all hit the, you know, the bowling pins, but one of them's not, didn't get hit. Or no, Gangle, my bad. Gangle and Kiener are rolled into a ball. They hit all the pins. And then Jax comes in last, and he kicks the last Gloink, you know, down. And then, like, spare, like, a sign that pops up says spare. You know, like, if you were, like, bowling, and on the TV, you know, if you got, like, a spare, that you know, spare would pop up. And, like, you hear a bell chime and audience applause. And then Jax sees the sign. He just breaks it over his knee. Like, for no reason, he's just like annoyed with it, and he just breaks it over his knee, and then this is where they come into contact with the Gloink Queen, who essentially, she is a giant worm eel like creature that has a mouth where her head and ass should be. Like, she's got two heads, and she's got like 5 or 6 eyes on both heads. And we see the Gloinks all, like, surrounding her, feeding her, you know, the shit they stole from upstairs. And, like, you know, they feed from the one head, and then the other head, like, spits it out. So it's kind of funny. And, you know, they're like, oh, how are we gonna solve this? And then we cut back to Pomni, you know, She runs back down the hallway to, you know, where their rooms are. She runs back down the hallway to Ragatha, and Ragatha is, like, glitching even worse than she was before. And she's like, Pomni apologizes. Ragatha's like, look, it's fine. You didn't know what to do. I totally get it. I'm not mad at you whatsoever. But just go, look, just go get Kane. He'll be able to figure this out and fix me, okay? And fix you too. And then so Pomni leaves. And there's a funny little joke, like a little visual gag when Ragatha is explaining to Pomni to go get Kane, we see her nose and her eyes move, and it's like, you know, that old video game Pong, where, like, you know, the little ping pong tennis ball was, like, bouncing around the screen, and, you know, there was on the left side and right side, you had to, like, keep it bouncing back and forth. You know, it's like, it's that little joke where her nose is, like, bouncing back and forth between her eyes. That was a pretty good little visual joke. I thought that was funny. And so, yeah, so they go, or Pomni leaves Ragatha, you know, in the hallway. She's like, and before she leaves, Ragatha says, I'm sorry your first day had to be so terrible, or your first day here had to be so terrible. And Pomni's like, it's fine, it's not your fault. And so she leaves, she starts calling out for Kane, and then she notices that there is a, before that, yeah. So she's looking for Kane, she's calling out his name, and she is opening all these random doors throughout the circus. And, you know, there's a bunch of random shit behind the doors. Like, she gets punched by a boxing glove 2 times when she opens 2 different doors. One door she opens is just like an aquarium, and like all the water is perfectly inside the door. Like, the water doesn't spill out when she opens the door. It's just all, like, lined up against the you know, where the door was and, like, fish are swimming by. There's one room, it's just a black void, and there's, like, 50 merry-go-rounds stacked on top of each other, all spinning and like, playing the calliope music. And it's like, why is that even a room? You know? It's like, what is the purpose of that room? There's one room where there's, like, a mannequin taking a bath. Or not a mannequin, but, you know, like, those little wooden dolls that you would use in, like, art class. You know, they look like marionettes, kind of. It's like a marionette, a wooden marionette taking a bath in, like, this white marble room. And this, there's a, he's, like, looking out at the sky. And then, like, his face turns into, like, a screaming, you know, that one of the comedy tragedy masks. It turns into one of those. It starts screaming, and the scream is rising. And, like, this, the mask, like, almost gets to Pomni before she closes the door. And, like, the mask leaves an imprint on the door because it, like, hit the door. And when I saw it for the first time, I'm like, oh, shit. Like, when I saw that the first time I was watching this, it, like, startled me a little bit because I wasn't expecting, like, oh, shit, what was that? But, yeah, so she's like, okay, I'm having no, like, she clearly is not getting anywhere with this. But then she turns the corner, sees Kaufmo, and, you know, she runs away from him. And then we cut back to Jax, Keener, and Gangle in the cave, and the Glunt Queen is giving a speech, and she, you know, she's, like, very high and mighty. She's like, what form of non-Glunkinian mass dares presume presence in the nest of the Glunt Queen? And Jax the whole time is just, like, bored. He's like, okay, let's get wrap this shit up. You know, like, he's just, like, looking at his hand and, like looking back at her, his arms crossed. And he has, like, probably my favorite line in the whole episode, where he says, when the Glunt Queen announces what, you know, tells who she is, she's like, I'm the Glunt Queen. He's like, oh, is that who you are? And he's like, you know, you could have asked for my consent before forcing me to see something so completely and utterly disgusting. And I was like, I love that line. And, you know, and the Glunt Queen is obviously pissed off. She's like, how despicable. And Kinder's like, yeah, well, we're, you know, like, she goes on about, you know, Jax running his mouth to her because she's a royal figure. And then Kinder's like, oh, well, I'm a royal figure, too. I'd like to ask where our friend is. But before he can, like, get the full sentence out, he sees the Glunks, like, just bouncing around in the on the opposite side of the cave carrying Zubal's head. And he's like, oh, hey, Zubal, how's it going? You know, there you are. And Zubal is rightfully pissed off. She's like, you dumbasses, help me. She's like, help me, you idiots. And then Jax is like, oh, yeah, that was kind of rude. Now I don't want to help you. And then we get another funny joke where, like, Jax abstains from helping her because he's like, oh, that was rude. And so Keener and Gangle play rock, paper, scissors for who has to get Zubal's head from the Gloinks. And because Gangle's hands are essentially just ribbons, Keener gets scissors, like, you know, rock, he gets scissors, and Gangle, I guess, gets paper, but because, again, like, her hands are ribbons, you know, she can't get anything other than just, like, paper, so she's like, I hate this game. It's a pretty funny joke. She's like, I always lose, that's what it, yeah, she's like, oh, I always lose. So Keener goes to get Zubal's head, but his hands, because they're a disembodied, you know, since they're just floating off of his body, his hands just end up getting stolen with Zubal's head, because he doesn't pull her, like, his hands just kind of, like, grab onto Zubal's head and then just get carried away with her head. And then the Glunt Queen eats Zubal's head, and, you know, Gangle's freaking out, and Jack's like, ah, they'll be fine. And then we cut back to Pomni. She runs by a mirror, and she's, like, looking at the mirror at herself, because, you know, it's the first time she's seen what she actually looks like in this world. Pomni distracts Kaufmo with a barrel of monkeys. There's a giant barrel of it's about the size of her. A barrel of monkeys, like, the size of her. She opens it. Kaufmo, you know, runs after the monkeys and brutally bashes one into the ground, and it starts glitching, or he just obliterates it into, like, just dust. But either way, it's like, oh, shit. Like, just the sound effects of just Kaufmo pounding him into the ground is like, oh, shit, you know. But, but yeah, Pomni is getting a little frustrated. She's like, where is Kane at? I thought he was, like, watching us at all times. And then she runs into the exit door, just in the middle of the room. Just the exit door is right there. And she goes through it, and she finds out that it's every exit... Everything is just, every time she opens the door and goes through the room, it's just another room. On the other side of the room is another exit door. So it's just an endless hallway of exit rooms. Like, just rooms. It just keeps, you know, just like, oh, exit, exit, exit. You know, and she keeps going through each room, and it slowly starts to drive her insane. And then we cut back to, you know, the Glowing Queen still talking mad shit to, to the group. She calls them a foolish assortment of colorful characters, which I love, which is essentially what they are. And then she's like, don't you realize that everything must be Gloinks? I am Gloinks. You will be Gloinks. God will be Gloinks. And then Jax just like, they're all still watching. And Jax is like, this is dumb and weird. And then like the Gloink Queen, he kind of like, you know, he makes her stop because she's trying to think of a response. And she like stutters and she's like, well, but, yet you're still watching it like that. And I feel like that may have been like a slight jab at the people who maybe initially dismissed this as dumb and weird. Like, or maybe like the critics, you know, who are like the haters of the pilot who were like, oh, this is dumb and weird. And then that was like the creator saying like, oh yeah, you're still watching it though. But yeah, Jax is like, I'm not here for the adventure. I'm just here to hide from the, and then before he gets, you know, finishes his sentence, Kaufmo comes crashing through the ceiling, or the ceiling of the cave, and lands smack dab on the Gloink Queen's back. And Kaufmo just starts beating the shit out of the Gloink Queen. And when he falls down, on her stomach, Zubal's head shoots out of, the Gloink Queen's mouth and along with, Keener's hands. And Keener's like, hey, Zubal, thank God you're okay. And, you know, Gengle is obviously, you know, cause she's like very nervous and, you know, she's kind of not paranoid, but I mean, that is kind of like a character trait of her. She's very shy and timid and she's freaking out cause she's like, that's Kaufmo. What? Oh my God, what happened? And again, Jax just being his like in denial asshole self, you know, tells her, oh, it's fine. Like Kaufmo's like, or I mean, Gengle's like, Kaufmo abstracted. And she's like crying cause she's got her, you know, sad tragedy drama mask on. She's like, Zubal's, or I mean, sorry, getting the names mixed up. She's like, Kaufmo abstracted. And while Kaufmo's beating the shit out of the Glowing Queen, causing her, making her glitch, turning her into a glitch kind of, Jax is like, nah, he's fine. Like, just so, I just love his don't give a shit attitude. It's so hilarious. But yeah, so, you know, and then we get Keener freaking out, like, how are we gonna get out of here? And Zubal's like, guys, look, just look over there in the corner. And then we just pan over to the corner and there's an escalator. There's an up and down escalator. And it's like, oh, okay, well, that would have been, that could have been another way to go down earlier. But, so they go up the escalator and Zubal, you know, all four of them leave while Kaufmo's beating up the Glowing Queen. And Zubal, understandably, is annoyed. She's like, they're like, wait, Pomni's not even here. I thought this whole stupid adventure was for her. And Jax is like, quiet, I can't hear the escalator. So yeah, he's just like, it's just, he's hilarious. I love him. They're all great, but I love asshole characters for some reason. And he's not like the most asshole. He's not like the biggest asshole, but I mean, he is kind of a dick, you know, and it's just funny to see just him being the most, other than Zubal, him being the one with the biggest don't give a shit attitude, just like, whatever happens, you know, it's fine. And then we cut back to Pomni, again, slowly but surely going insane, over the fact that every time she thinks she's gotten through the exit, she just gets to another room with an exit door on the other side, and she starts maniacally laughing. But then she gets to a room, like this office room, and she sees this old, like, fat back computer with a keyboard and a desk chair. And she, you know, it's obviously like there's some significance to it. And it's like, oh shit, is that the computer that she like logged into the game with and put the headset on? And you know, she looks at it for a few seconds, they pan in on it. She looks at it and she starts, you know, maniacally laughing. She's like going insane. She goes back through she goes in reverse. She goes back through the exit door she just came out of, and then she goes. She ends up in this big hallway. She ends up in the void. She opens the door at the end of this big hallway she's in, and she ends up in the void. And then we cut to Kane and Bubble in this like restaurant somewhere, I guess, in the game. Or since he's like an artificial intelligence, I guess maybe he's in a different game. I'm not quite sure, but he's in this like fancy restaurant, and like it's only him and Bubble there, and like everyone else there is like a marionette puppet, you know. And they're all just sitting at their own tables, like no food or anything, but there are like plates and a bottle of wine. They're just sitting enjoying their time there. And Kane has a pretty funny line where him and Bubble are, we just cut to, you know, them in this restaurant, and they're just laughing. And Kane's like, "Oh, Bubble, you always know how to make me say this exact sentence." And I don't know, I just love the like self-awareness of Kane in that moment. It's like, oh yeah, well, I mean, he probably didn't know, but it's like the fact that we just cut to him, the fact that we just cut to him and Bubble in the middle of this conversation that was so funny, it was just caused them to burst out laughing. Like, oh, Bubble, you know. Like, and it's just, I don't know, I just love that line. You always know how to make me say this exact sentence. And then Kane gets an alert on his wacky watch, and he's like, oh, I got an alert. I have an alert on my wacky watch at this hour. And then at the bottom of the screen, little advertisement for the wacky watch pops up, and it says, $19.95 plus shipping and handling, exclusive TV offer, 30-day money-back guarantee. And then there's like a number to call, but it's not a full, it's like 1-800-40, and then it's like just emojis after it. It's like there's like a sheet of paper, a mailbox, an hourglass, a computer mouse, and then a phone, and then there's order now, and then the website, thewackywatch.com. So I just love, because I love this whole like vibe where like counting the intro and like this advertisement, it's almost like it's a virtual reality game like world, like, you know, but it's also like kind of poking fun, I guess, at like kid shows, and it's like making jokes like, oh yeah, that's like a product that they're shamelessly you know, throwing into the episode to like get kids to buy it. Oh, buy the wacky watch, you know, like the fact that he mentioned it in, you know, the fact that he mentioned it, oh, I've got a wacky watch alert, you know, and then like the actual advertisement for it popped up. You know, I love that. That was great. But yeah, so he gets a notification on his wacky watch that someone ventured out into the void, and he's like, oh shit, they're going to be spoiled. And then he just leaves Bubble in the restaurant, and then he just, you know, again, like kind of shrinks down, poofs into dust, like disappears. Well, actually, no, he doesn't poof into dust that time. He just like vanishes out of the restaurant. You know, it's like he just pops out, you know, leaving Bubble at the table. And then we cut to Pomni, like whatever she's looking at in the void, she's just like wall-eyed, like she's just like zoned out, like it looks like she's like scarred, you know, she's like in disbelief of whatever she's looking at. And then Kane pops up, grabs her, and then pops back out and takes her back to the, you know, the main tent, or the main room in the tent of the circus. And you know, and Kane's like, now what the heck happened around here? Oh yeah, my doing. And then we see Kaner, Gangle, Zubel, and Jax. Sorry, there's a lot of names. But yeah, we see the four of them run, you know, rush back up. And Kaner's like, oh, Kofmo went through, you know, he abstracted. And Kofmo's like, or Kane, in a very exaggerated voice, he's like, why didn't anybody tell me? You know, it's like very goofy and silly. And then, so he... you know, with like the snap of his fingers and the flick of his wrist, he picks up Kofmo, like he's like levitating him, and he's like, into the cellar you go. And then he opens up a portal on the floor, and like we cut to like this, the cellar is like, there's like a river or a lake, because like we see some water rushing down, or not rushing down, but we see like some water, some waves kind of, you know, calmly like moving at the bottom of the cellar. And we see like, as Kofmo is being lowered down by Kane into the cellar, we see like five or six other abstractions. So it's like, oh shit. So all those figures that were, or all those rooms that had like the characters' faces crossed out with an X, those were characters in the circus, you know, that lived there that got abstracted, and Kane just, you know, they put them all in the cellar. That's crazy. So, you know, it's, I mean, and they don't like directly say that's what happened, but like when you go back and see that, you know, and then you see that scene, it's like, oh shit, those characters all abstracted, and Kane, I guess, couldn't figure out how to fix them. So he just has them trapped in the cellar underneath the circus, which is crazy. And then Zubel says, I can't believe Kaufmo just gave up like that. And she, or they say, no offense, Keener, but I always thought you would be next. And I just love the delivery of Keener right there. He says, thank you. Like, he's like, oh, that was so sweet. Like, I just love that line. And then we see Ragatha crawling, like, she crawled all the way from, like, the hallway where all their rooms are to the main floor. And she's, like, crawling to Kane. She's like, I'm in so much pain. Help me. And then Kane's like, oh, yeah, here you go. And then he snaps his fingers, and then she's immediately fixed. And also, Pomni's hand is fixed, too, with the snap. So it's like, wait a minute, if you could do that, how come you couldn't fix Keener, or how come you couldn't fix Kaufmo and the others in the cellar? But my guess is that he can't fix one of the characters if they've completely abstracted. Because, you know, Ragatha and Pomni weren't completely the abstraction, you know, glitchy black monster yet. You know, Ragatha was, you know, closer to being that because she was, her whole body was glitching, and Pomni's hand was the only thing that was glitching on her, you know. So it's like, oh, okay, so they're fine for right now, but if they don't get it fixed soon, they're going to turn into that. So my guess is Kane is just leaving them all in the cellar until he figures out how to turn them back into themselves. Or the worst implication is that he is fully capable of turning them back into themselves. He just doesn't want to, and is keeping them all in there, all the abstractions in the cellar, for some nefarious purpose. But who knows? I mean, you know, the creator probably has this all figured out. But, I mean, it is interesting. It's like, oh, why are they all in the cellar, and why could he fix them and not them, you know? But I'm assuming that he can't fix a full abstraction, but he can fix the characters if they haven't completely turned into the abstraction monsters, you know. And then Ragatha is, like, kind of awkwardly, like, she you know, standing next to Pomni, she's kind of awkwardly, like, rubbing her arm, like, looking down at the floor. Because she, you know, she feels bad about, you know, putting Pomni through all that on her first day, and causing her hand to glitch. And then Kane apologizes to everyone, saying, I'm sorry I lied to you all about the exit. I knew all of you wanted something to be on the other side of the exit, and I was having so much trouble figuring out what to put on the other side of the exit door that I never quite finished it. and he's like, and yeah, and you know how I never like any of you seeing my unfinished work, right? And then he's like, especially if it leads out into the void. But you all defeated the Glowing Queen, and I just love that he says that, because I'm like, really, they didn't do shit. It was really Kaufmo that, really Kaufmo was the one that defeated the Glowing Queen. All they did was go down there, rescue Zubel after Kaufmo spit, you know, got the Glowing Queen to spit Zubel out, and then just went back up. Like, they didn't defeat it was Kaufmo, really, that did all the work. And he didn't even really know what he was doing other than just beating something up and turning it into a glitch, you know. But yeah, he's like, you defeated the Glowing Queen, so the adventure's over. Now let's all enjoy this digital feast. And Bubble cooked the feast, apparently. He's got like a little chef hat and a spatula. Or she's got a little chef hat and a spatula and a huge steak knife. And Jax is like, I'm hungry. Gengle's like, you didn't even do anything. And Jack's like, well, that doesn't mean I still can't be hungry. And then Keener points out how since this is all a virtual world, none of them really, you know, they don't really need to eat, drink, or sleep in this digital world. The food only gives off the virtual sensation of eating. And it's like, oh, that's kind of neat. And it's without any of the nutritional benefits. And then we cut to, you know, as Keener is saying all this, we zoom in on Pomni, and her, again, she's just like wide-eyed, zoned out, like thinking, what the hell? You know, because obviously whatever she saw in the void traumatized her. And we're kind of, you know, left thinking, okay, what did she see that, like, traumatized her, or that, like, left her that zoned out so badly, you know, or like what, you know, what caused her to be kind of that, yeah, zoned out. And, you know, and it could also be partly the realization that she's stuck there for God knows how long, but it's just like, oh shit, you know? And then, so as we're zooming into, we get the final scene, you know, as we're zooming into, Pomni's face, we fade to, you know, I guess a few minutes later, when they're all sitting down at the table eating the digital feast. And it's, you know, like ham, carrots, rolls, peas, pancakes, like it's just a cupcakes. Like there's just a bunch of like various different foods on the table. There's a lobster, hot dogs, you know, it's pretty much everything you could ever want for any meal is at the table. And everyone's just, you know, hanging out, talking, having a good time. But Pomni's smack dab in the middle of the table, and it just keeps zooming into her face. And she slowly but surely starts to, like, her eyes start twitching, and, like, she gets this huge smile appears on her face. You know, she's, like, you know, slowly going insane, kind of like Kaufmo did. And kind of like how Keener has been getting it slow, you know, becoming slowly more and more crazy. But, you know, and while we're zooming into Pomni's face, we get like this majestic, you know, orchestral, like grand orchestral music. And like, I still kind of get goosebumps, or I've gotten goosebumps both times I watched the pilot, just cause it's like so loud and so like, the music mixed with like the implications of what's going on and Pomni's face. It's like, it's this very grand kind of happy sounding music, but you know, when you have the context of, you know, what's going on, and then you see it, you know, we slowly zoom into Pomni's face going, you know, like smiling, you know, nervously and like twitching her eye. It's like, oh shit, you know, like, it's like, this is getting, you know, this has gotten a little dark. This is getting serious, you know, like she's going insane, you know? And yeah, it's just, it's, you know, it gives you goosebumps. Like or it gave me goosebumps. You know, it's very effective, you know? And then we pan out, and we get like a crane shot of them all sitting at the table. We get kind of like a bigger view of the inside of the tent. You know, there's like a, and the tent's very cool. Like there's like a hamster tube, kind of like a multicolored hamster tube in a way, like, or slides kind of going across, like making a maze, throughout the tent. There's a cannon, on wheels. There was a giant, one of those like scholastic or not scholastic, but like one of those like kids' toy phones on wheels, you know, like the little colorful phone that you know pick up, and I forgot what brand of toy that is, but you know, the toy phone that's on the wheels. There's I don't know, it's just, there's a bunch, it's like very colorful, like the floor is like a black and white checkerboard. It's just the inside of the tent is visually very colorful and unique looking. I love the set, you know. But we get that crane shot of, you know, them all sitting at the table, then we pan out and we zoom out and see the circus and the forest surrounding it, like the trees and the mountains behind it. Then we pan out and see their entire landscape, which, you know, consists of the lake and the carnival, you know, floating out in the void. Then we pan out again and we just see nothing but the void. Then we pan out one more time and then we see the computer and the desk that Pomni saw when she was going through the maze of exit doors, you know, the exit rooms. And it's like, oh shit, so is this actually the room? Because we see like a little VR headset, we see some headphones, we see a couple filing cabinets, we see some light coming in from the blinds. Like, we don't see like the windows, but we see like the sun coming in, like, and the shadows of the blinds on the other side of the room, like sun peeking, the sunlight peeking, appearing into the room. And we see a blank white screen on the computer, little desk chair. And it's like, is this the room? Like, did they all go to this room, put on that VR headset and get trapped in the, or is this Pomni's, you know, cause like no one's sitting in the chair, but it's like, apparently there is a VR headset there. It's like, I'm guessing they all did put on this VR headset and they all got trapped in this world. So it's like, oh shit, what's, you know, what's going to happen, you know? And, it's like, I guess this is the room. Like, you know, where are their bodies? You know, I mean, they didn't all go to this one computer, right? I mean, they didn't all put on the headset at this one computer, right? You know, but like, it's just, there's so many questions. It's like, you know, how long have all of them been there? You know, how many are abstractions? How many of them are abstracted and in the cellar? You know, yeah, it's just like, what do they all look like, you know, in the real world? Or is there a way to get out? You know, what did Pomni see in the void? Like, yeah, just so many questions. And then we, the music crescendos, and we get the title pops up in like this bold gold font, and then it cuts to the credits. And then like the credits are like the, just this like 2D animated, you know, just like the circus bouncing around to the music. And then we see like the characters walking around. And yeah, so, but yeah, I talked way longer obviously than the pilot, because the pilot was only 25 and a half minutes or 25 minutes, 45 seconds. I talked like for an hour about it, but I did go over it scene by scene. So, but yeah, so the pilot was great. I love the pilot. And yeah, I just love the fact that, cause it premiered on YouTube, and the YouTube, account, the account that posted it is called Glitch, who have made another series called Murder Drones that's on YouTube and very popular. I haven't watched it yet, but I've heard good things about it. And, you know, and this is very great. And, you know, I love the fact that, kind of like Hazbin Hotel, it's been blowing up like crazy, because they upload Glitch, the account that uploaded it, uploaded it 2 weeks ago. Like, they uploaded it on October 14th, and it already has 62 million views, which is insane, because I'm like, oh, that's like Hazbin Hotel level of views, you know. And because it, when Hazbin Hotel dropped, it blew up. It got tons of views overnight and throughout the weeks, and it's still getting views, you know. And I mean, it's getting its own show on Amazon, like, you know, Vivian Medrano, Vivian Medrano, I forgot her last name, but Vivian, Vivzy Pop, you know, got her, yeah, she, you know, it blew up, and she got a deal with Amazon, you know, and the first season of that is premiering in January, and the second season has already been greenlit, so it's like, oh, shit, that's crazy. But yeah, so, the animation, Glitch, they did a great job with this pilot. You know, I hope it gets picked up, or if they continue to do it on YouTube, I hope they continue to release episodes on YouTube. Whatever they do, I'd love to see more, because they have a great mystery set up. All the characters are great and interesting and very colorful and unique. And yeah, I mean, they're unique in terms of personalities and designs. Like, I love the interactions between all of them. Like, I love the group, the dynamic, you know. Great mystery. Animation's great. I love that it's all CGI too, because with Hazbin Hotel, it was 2D animated. It was traditional, or, you know, yeah, 2D animated. And this is all fully CGI, so I love that. And the voice acting from everyone is great. Like, the creator is Gooseworks, which I think he either works with Glitch or he paired up with Glitch to create this. But either way, yeah, he did a great job, and everyone at Glitch, everyone who animated this did a great job. The voice acting from everyone's great. I'm not familiar really with any of the voices except for. The Gloin Queen was voiced by Elsie Lovelock, who I believe, if I'm not mistaken, did the singing voice for Charlie in the Hazbin Hotel pilot. But Jax is voiced by Michael Kovach. I believe it's Kovach? Yeah, Kovach, who also voiced Angel Dust in the Hazbin Hotel pilot, one of the characters. And surprise, surprise, Angel Dust in Hazbin Hotel, if you've seen it, or if you haven't seen it, he's an asshole too. He's an asshole character that kind of just does his own thing, has a doesn't-give-a-shit attitude. Kind of like Jax, and except he's got like more of a New York Boston style kick, like in his voice, like more of a little accent. Jax kind of does too, but it's not as pronounced. Is that the right word? It's not quite as like there. You know what I mean? It's not as noticeable. And obviously, that was probably on purpose. You know, but yeah. So he does great though. I mean, and I loved Angel Dust. He's hilarious. He's an asshole, but he kind of has a heart to him. Same with Jax, like, he's not completely a dick, but he is an asshole with a little bit of a heart of gold, maybe, you know, and, he's kind of nice when he wants to be, but, yeah, I guess that's why I love Jax so much, because he's, reminds me so much of Angel Dust, and he's voiced by the guy who voiced him, so, but, yeah, so, anyway, I'm going on about an hour and 10 minutes now, I guess that's pretty much all I have to say. Just, I loved the pilot. If you haven't seen it yet, go watch it. Just type in, really, you won't even have to type in the whole thing, but yeah, just type in the Amazing Digital Circus on YouTube and watch it. It's half an hour. It's like 25 and a half minutes. I promise you won't regret it. It's funny. The animation's great. Voice acting's great. And yeah, I mean, if you love animation, you know, you owe it to yourself to watch it, because it's, I feel like you'll have a good time with it. But yeah, I guess that does it. So, as always, I hope you guys enjoyed tonight's episode. Join me next week. I'll probably be reviewing the movie The Holdovers. I might also review the Dream Scenario. It depends on if I have time to go see both. It also depends on if my movie theater is showing The Holdovers, because I haven't really seen any advertisements for it. Figured I would, but anyway, it should be coming out next Friday, so that'll probably be Friday's review, is the movie The Holdovers. So expect that Friday. If not, then obviously when you listen to next week's episode, you'll know whether it is or not. But it should be that. If it's not, it'll be something else that I decide to review, whatever that may be. But it should be The Holdovers. So anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed tonight's episode. I'll see you guys next Friday. Hope you all have a great weekend. And until next Friday, take care.